Father, I thank you for, I look around, I see all these faces, and they're your faces, they're your children, and you know exactly where each and every one of them's at in their walk with you. Now, Father, I'm asking you right now to reach down through the portals of heaven, yank that junk out of them, Father. And Father God, don't let them leave here the same way they came. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I know you think you have it bad, but you don't know how bad your brother or sister has it sitting next to you. You really don't. They might be laughing and have the joy of the Lord, but you don't know what's going on deep inside them unless God tells you to what's going on. So why don't you get your eyes off? Like God was saying to me, they need to get their eyes off of their brothers and sisters and get their eyes on me and on themselves and concentrate on what's going on in their lives, because they're losing their salvation while they're so concerned about what somebody else is doing. Are you hearing this? So, you know, if you're married, you can't be concerned about where your husband's at in his walk with God, or your wife. You need to be concerned where you're at in your walk with God. While you're watching their walk, you're losing yours. God told me that one time years ago. He said, daughter, while you're trying to get your kids saved, you're losing your salvation, because you're so concentrated on praying for them and making sure that they're covered, that you're not covering your own self. So, you know, you need to watch what you're doing daily. We're in really rough, dark times right now. Tonight, God's gave me the word oppression. Now, video. We have a 4-minute video. Thank you. We're going to watch a 4-minute video. Go ahead, Nancy.
Many years ago, I think it was the very first year I was here, I've told this story several times, so I'll give you the abridged version, that we had 5 prophets in a year prophesy that revival was coming from the youth. And we love the youth, by the way, and I have 8 grandchildren. I have no problem with that theology whatsoever. But the fourth time it happened, I was sitting in the front row. It was on a Friday night. I still remember it vividly. I fell on the floor and I was weeping. Now, I'm not much of a fall on the floor weeper guy. And I didn't know why I was on the floor weeping. Have you ever had God talk to your heart but not your head? I was like, I'm laying there and I'm weeping and I have no idea why. We had just prayed for God to come, for the young people, that revival was coming from the youth. This is the fourth time. And I don't know if I was going through menopause. I couldn't figure out what was happening to me. And I left. I went home that night. I was like, what was that about? I have no idea what it was about. And then about two or three months later, it was in December. I still remember it very vividly. I had the same thing happen again. We were praying for this prophetess. It was a woman, very, very, very good lady. She was prophesying revivals coming from the youth, and we were praying for the youth, and I was like, I don't know what happened, but I just started to cry and wail, and I was like, what is going on? I gotta get out of here. And I ran out of the church and drove home. Not good when you're the pastor. And we were living in a little apartment. I'm laying on the floor and I'm weeping, and I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, am I going crazy? What is happening to me? And the Lord said to me, revival is not coming from the youth. He said, my prophets are speaking from the second heaven. He said, revival is coming from one generation. Old, young, middle age, from one generation. And immediately I had this vision. And in this vision, I saw this father with 2 daughters. And he said to the one daughter, you're beautiful, but said nothing to the second. They were in another place in the vision. They were in another location. And the father said to the same daughter, you're beautiful, but said nothing to the second. They're in another place, that this happened a third time, and the 2 daughters were in the same place, in another place with their father, and their father looked at the same daughter and said, you're beautiful, but said nothing to the second. And the Lord said to me, omission is powerful. And he said, if you say that revival is coming from the youth, what are you saying to the middle age, and what are you saying to the elders? And the Lord said to me, what generation does your culture honor? Everybody's trying to be young. People say, you're young at heart. Everybody's dying their hair. I'm good with dye. I'm all good. It's all good. But I'm saying the goal is to not be old. And the Lord said, what generation does my kingdom, does my Bible honor? Oh, a gray head is a crown. Fathers. And I said, fatherhood. I said, the Lord, you honor the elderly. He said, that's right. And he reminded me, Psalms 133, the anointing begins over the top of Aaron's head. It says how good and how pleasant it is for men, for children, for people to dwell together in unity. It's like the anointing that starts from the top of Aaron's head, and it flows all the way down over his feet. How many know that if you stay in right order, that you're just as anointed as a toe as it is on the head? How many know the anointing flows downhill? Crap flows that way too, but so does anointing. Now, I began to realize Acts 2:14 says, in the last days I'm going to pour out my spirit on, help me, all flesh, not your sons and your daughters, but all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Even upon your bondservants will I pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. How many know revival doesn't have a gender? Help me, ladies. Revival doesn't have a gender. It doesn't have a generation, old and young. And it doesn't have a social class, even upon your bondservants. It doesn't matter how much money you have, you're included.
So now you heard. It's all flesh. I thought it was interesting what God told him, that the prophets were prophesying now the second heaven. And how many prophets are prophesying now the second heaven? God said we're supposed to go to the third. He invited us there. Come to the third heaven. And when you're in the third heaven and you prophesy from there, you're prophesying the whole truth. So if you're not in the third heaven yet, I'm asking you not to prophesy anymore till you get there. Because you're messing people up. You're not prophesying the whole truth. And I hear so many older people now saying, oh, God's finished with me. I'm just all these aches and pains. I just soon go ahead and go on and be with the Lord. And that's not what God wants. It really doesn't. You know, the older people have a lot of wisdom that the middle class and the younger people are going to need. And God is going to use us older people. And I've been encouraging everybody older that I know that's emailed me that they just want to die and this and that and the other. And I just went through that myself whenever Satan attacked me with all that sickness. I said, God, I'd just soon die and go home and live like this. He said, but your work isn't finished, so quit praying that way. You know. So if you're older and you have aches and pains or whatever it is you're going through, give it to God and let God heal you and let him bring you forth. Because you are needed. And I know a lot, they gave up and have died. They would not trust God that God was able to heal them and bring them forth. Are you understanding this? Okay, let's go now to oppression. So oppression is the state of being kept down by unjust use of force or authority. And then another thing it said in the dictionary was, after years of oppression, they finally revolted. And I think that's where God is trying to get you to tonight. He wants you to revolt, all right? Now, God says, my children have been under the oppression of the enemy for way too long now. It is time to rise up and take your rightful place in my world. This is God speaking. Yes, I said my world. My world is a world of freedom, joy, love, peace, humility, long-suffering, compassion, and knowledge. But as I look over my body, I do not see these characteristics at work. So let's read those characteristics again and think about yourself. My world is a world of freedom, joy, love, peace, humility, long-suffering, compassion, and knowledge. You should have all the fruits working in you, all right? God said, but instead, I see oppression on all sides. I see a people that never look up, and if they ever now and then do, they instantly look back down. They allow the enemy to control their lives, even when they have more power and authority than the enemy. My question, that's why he's saying you're under oppression. You're allowing the enemy to control your life. My question to you is, why do you enjoy living under the tyranny of the oppressor? And when you think about that, why do you enjoy living under the tyranny of the oppressor? Why do you enjoy imprisonment? Why do you not take your authority in Christ and destroy the works of the enemy? Why? You constantly say, I can't help myself. I need to give into the wiles of the evil one, because after all, he is in my face every day. Now, this is God speaking to you people, all right? And God said, that's a total lie. My son, Jesus, made the way of escape for you. He paid the ultimate price for your freedom from all things that the enemy throws your way. And Hebrews 4:15 says, Jesus, our high priest, is able to understand our weaknesses. When Jesus lived on earth, he was tempted in every way. He was tempted in the same ways we are tempted, but he never sinned. And the devil was in his face too. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, the only temptations that you have are the same temptations that all people have, but you can trust God. He will not let you be tempted more than you can bear, but when you are tempted, God will also give you a way to escape that temptation. Then you will be able to endure it. So you guys out there that are laying in bed with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, say this is what you have to do. No, you don't. God makes a way for escape. I know there isn't any place that you can look where sex isn't thrown in your face. There's no place. I read two articles that said if you're past 60 and don't have sex, you're going to get cancer. No, isn't that stupid? I mean, you know, sex is in everything. That's the devil. And why are you out there doing, why are you entertaining the devil? Why are you doing those things, hiding in bushes and in backs of cars or in somebody's bedroom? Why are you doing these things? You're under the oppressor. He's oppressing you. Now, God says, could it be that you enjoy your enslavement? Could it be that you would rather be enslaved than walk in total freedom and be held accountable for your actions? You see this? Could it be that you enjoy your enslavement? Could it be that you would rather be enslaved than walk in total freedom and be held accountable for your actions? You could say, well, I didn't know. If you've been in this church one time, you know. And you're not going to be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. Numbers 11, 4 and 5 says, the foreigners who had joined the Israelites began wanting other things to eat. Soon all the Israelites began complaining again. The people said, we want to eat meat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt. That fish cost us nothing. We also had good vegetables like cucumbers, melons, chives, onions, and garlic. Then God says, as you see from my scriptures, I make a way for all my children, but I can't make you walk in that freedom. I can only provide the way. So there, you know, he had me put the scripture in there because this was the Israelite children. He took them out of bondage, but he couldn't make them stay out of bondage. He couldn't change their mindsets. They had to do that themselves. So he says, as you see from my scriptures, I make a way for all my children, but I can't make you walk in that freedom. I can only provide the way. So every bondman in his own hand bears the power to cancel his enslavement. God's saying, you have in your hand the power to cancel your enslavement. Why is it that you stay enslaved to backbiting, jealousy, bitterness, pride, and perversion of all types? Could it be because you like these sins and you cannot man up and admit you would rather sin than walk in the freedom my son provided? I hope you're taking this into your spirit. These messages that God is prophesying are very important. And whenever he's finished, not when that's going to be, you'll either make it or break it. You either be with God or you won't be. God says, could it be? Oh, I read that, didn't I? He says, do you not understand that as long as you allow the enemy keep you under deception, he can oppress you on all sides? Read that again. Do you not understand that as long as you allow the enemy keep you under deception, he can oppress you on all sides? Then he says, children, where is your God-given brain? I thought that was sort of interesting. Let's know where your God-given brain is. Why do you keep allowing the enemy of your soul keep you oppressed and walking around in total delusion? Why will you not reach out and grab hold of my promises in my word and cause the enemy to let you go? Do you not understand that you personally are the only one that can do this? There is absolutely no one else that can free you from the oppressor. You are the one that is allowing the enemy to keep you imprisoned in this state of oppression. You are allowing it, nobody else. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. God's told me they just enjoy their sins. And that's why they won't let go of them. And God went on to say, I have done all that I intend to do to give you a place of freedom. I am not going to make my son come back and suffer again. Why do you even allow the enemy to oppress you as he does? Doesn't what my son went through for you make you want to destroy the works of the enemy? Don't you even feel 1 ounce of pain for what my son had to go through? You say you can't stand to look at my son's beatings, but that is not true. If it were true, you would never ever allow the enemy to keep you oppressed. I see a lot of people say, oh, I just can't look at that, I can't look at that, but they have sin abounding in their lives. God said, that's not true. God goes on to say, you would destroy his works immediately, and you would walk out of imprisonment into the total freedom my son gave you. You say you want to work for me. You say you want me to use you to work great signs, wonders, and miracles. But you are in prison by oppression, and there is no way I can use you while you are still a prisoner of the enemy. You say you are ready to raise up others as leaders, when you can't even stay free from oppression even one single day. I want everybody in here to listen to what God's saying to you, because this is all truth. I mean, of course, everything he says is truth, but you need to understand it is truth. I didn't make up any of these words. This is all straight from the throne of God. And he said, you say you are ready to raise up others as leaders when you can't even stay free from oppression even one single day. You keep allowing the enemy to take you into pride, jealousy, hate, backbiting, perversion, and you think I'm going to use you to further my kingdom? Come on, children. You need to take a long, hard look at where you're at, and you need to be honest with yourself, and you must admit that you are imprisoned by the enemy with oppression. I am telling you a truth this day. I will walk away, and I will not look back, if you don't take the authority I have given you and walk out of oppression. This is a very strong warning to the body of Christ tonight. You dress yourself all up, you make sure you look good, and then you go forth telling the church world that you love the Lord, when in fact, you are not what you are portraying. You are so self-absorbed that you cannot see the truth. I'm going to repeat that. You dress yourself all up, you make sure you look good, and then you go forth telling the church world that you love the Lord, when in fact you are not what you are portraying. You are so self-absorbed that you cannot see the truth. The word self-absorbed means absorbed in your own interest or thoughts. I see a lot of that in the body of Christ, a lot. God says you cannot see that because you are in the prison of oppression. You are not really wanting to do my will. You really want me to do your will. I thought that was interesting. It says, you're not really wanting to do my will. You really want me to do your will. Guess what? That's not going to happen. You need to look at yourself and you need to come to the truth, and you must take upon yourself the spirit of humility. Philippians 2:8, and being found in appearance as a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Pride takes so much of your time, when in reality I want you to spend more time with me and draw closer to me. You say, what are you saying? I am saying that you are concentrating on what you are going to say and what you are going to accomplish in the name of Jesus. I'm going to repeat that. Pride takes so much of your time, when in reality I want you to spend more time with me and draw closer to me. You say, what are you saying? I am saying that you are concentrating on what you are going to say and what you are going to accomplish in the name of Jesus. You need to understand that in reality I am not really in the picture. I am in the background. Yes, you sit and you talk to me, and yes, you do ask me what I'm going to do with you, and yes, I do tell you, but that does not mean it will come to pass. Matthew 22:14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Then God said, just because you're on the road that I have called you to walk does not mean that you will finish the race. And that sort of put a little bit of fear in me. Because a lot of people say, well, I'm right where God wants me to be. And boy, I'm going to make it. He's saying, no, you're not. He says, as long as you stay a prisoner to oppression, that walk will fail. My word tells you to be ye holy as I am holy. And as long as you are a prisoner to oppression, you are not walking holy. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. How many of you in here tonight are really working on being holy? How many of you in here tonight are really working at being all that God has called you to be? And if you're working on being all that God has called you to be, then you've died out to yourself. You laid all that silly stuff aside. And you're saying, God, your will, your way. And you aren't sitting around thinking what you're going to accomplish. What you're really doing is sitting around saying, God, where do you want me to go from here? What is it that you're calling me forth to do? Whenever you're sitting around saying, telling everybody where you're going to go to, then that's self-confidence. God's just saying, that's what I'm saying it to you. And self-confidence is not going to take you where I want you to go. And he's saying, you're too confident in yourself as it is. And you really don't rely on me. You just believe you're relying on me. God says, don't you think it is time you take up your cross, man up, and go forth unhindered by excuses and become the vessel of honor that I can move through. Don't you think it is time you take up your cross, man up, and go forth unhindered by excuses and become the vessel of honor that I can move through? Don't you think the souls that are perishing each and every day deserve the chance to know me just like you did? Don't you think that you have allowed an adequate amount of souls to drop into the abyss daily while you're allowing yourself to be held captive to oppression? When you stand before me, you will have no excuses, for my son paid the ultimate price for your continued freedom. Oppression is a tool of the enemy that has no power except the power you give him. Oppression is a tool of the enemy that has no power except the power you give him. You can walk out from under oppression through the blood and the name of Jesus. Now that's where God stopped, but I'm put in this scripture. But God said you can walk out from under oppression through the blood and the name of Jesus. And 1 John 1:5-10 said, this is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So are you total light? You have to ask yourself that. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So if you're not walking in total light, then you're walking in half-truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And see, that bothers me there, because we say we walk in the light of God. We claim we are God's children, but We can't even love each other, said in this church, every service. We either fellowship with this one and don't fellowship with this one, or we quit fellowship with this one and go back to fellowship with this one. You don't make complete unity. You cannot love all of your brothers and sisters. You can only love one at a time. And Jesus said you have to love them all the sheep. Come on. That if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So now, I don't want anybody sitting here thinking you're all that and sin then some, because you're not. There's not a one of us that doesn't sin in some way about every day. It could just be a thought that fleets through your head that You think, where'd that thing come from? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You need to quit judging your brother and your sister. Even the people in the world are your brother and your sister, you know. You just need to quit judging them because you really don't know what they went through in their lifetime that they've ended up to where they're at. And you don't know what's going on in their life right now that's making them do what they're doing. But if you know somebody and you've been ministering the love of God to them and they keep sinning, they know what sin is. Their blood is no longer in your hands. And they are sinning because they enjoy being under bondage to the oppressor. There's a way of escape. This church makes a way of escape from any bondage that you might be in. All right. Now the oppression is a state of being kept down by unjust use of force or authority. And after years of oppression, they finally revolted. And I know there's a lot of people sits right in this house that come in and out of this house that's under oppression. And when we talk to them about it, they say, no, not me. See, you become unteachable because you think you're all that and then some. And God can't help you. You know, little Isaiah, I know y'all watch him, and I love him. He's precious. But he's gotten to preaching now. And he knows what sin is, and he tells, and he even told somebody come to my house the other day to pick up Alicia. You know, you're going to go to hell because you do drugs. I can smell them pot on you, and you're going straight to hell. And then walked away, so I've told you now. But I told him, I said, you can't go around telling everybody that. Why not? Well, you know, and I'm not going to try to stop him either because I'm glad he's doing it. I'm glad he's telling the kids that they're in sin. And the other day he did something he shouldn't have done. He said, but I'm not going to sin and to hell. And don't tell me I'm going to hell because I'm not going to hell because I asked God to forgive me. But I just wish the adults were like that. I just wish that we would all come to the grips of the fact that you can't sin and say you're a child of God. You just can't do that. You know, and you use any excuse in the world not to come into the house of God, but yet you want God to bless you all the time. You know, I've really had a lot of physical attacks on my health here recently, and it's really all I can do to get dressed to even come to church. But I do. And I have to say, God, give me the strength to get myself ready to go to church. But I don't come in here complaining, except my toe hurt, I limped. But I don't come in here complaining because, God, I got to get out of bed and go teach those little sheep that are trying to drown themselves. I don't do that. I love to come into the house of God. And, you know, I don't preach all the time anymore because sometimes, if you notice, I don't have the breath that I need because of what's going on there. But I love to come into the house of God and just sit in his presence and just worship with him or, you know, just listen to somebody else, you know, minister to me. And I don't mind ministering to other people, but I really do mind ministering to the same people year after year after year after year, and they never change. It really bothers me if God has called you into the ministry and told you exactly what you're supposed to do and you don't do it. You just sit and you don't do it. You're under oppression. You're under the oppressor. You're under the pressure of the enemy. And God is making a way of escape. Tonight, he's making a way of escape. If you really want to be out from underneath the pressure of the oppressor, then there's an anointing that will destroy every yoke if you really want to receive it. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you have a calling in your life and you don't start working on that calling, you're losing it. You are losing it. So what if you're not out there in a pulpit somewhere? There's still other little things. You know, God wants you to start with the small things, and then he'll give you more. Everybody wants to start at the top. It doesn't work that way. You start at the top and at the bottom and work your way up. And I really don't understand anybody that wants to take somebody else's ministry. That really bothers me. Because that person has that ministry, has worked hard, they've paid a price, they've listened to God. While you was out there lollygagging, doing your thing, they were home on their face, worshiping their Father and listening for the Father's voice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then somebody who comes in and right away they think they know more than you do. You like to walk around there and slap them a good one. And slap some sense into them, right? And you're not ready to get out there and minister to a lost and a dying world. And so many people hide their sins. And God said he's going to lift the skirts and he's going to uncover. You know, and it says it's better that you fall on a rock than have the rock fall on you. And so I'm really encouraging everybody in here tonight. And I'm going to tell you about everybody. There's not very many people that come in here that God has not called to be in a leadership position of some sort. Because that's what this church is for. This church is to raise up leaders and send them forth to do the works of the Father. And there's not very many that come in here that God's not calling to be a leader. And so when you come in here, you are hearing instructions from God so you can go, he can send you forth to do the works he's wanting you to do. You get excited if God doesn't use you in 5 or 10 years. And I've been waiting 40 years for God to really do the greater works that he wants to. I mean, he's been using me for 40 years. But he's always told me there's something so much greater he's going to use me to do. And so I'm sitting here and I feel like spinning my wheels while you all are sitting there doing your thing with the oppressor. And I really say, God, smack them sheep really good and get them straightened out. Because I want to go into the greater things, don't you? You know, I want to see the healings. I want to see, you know, demons flee from people the minute they walk into your presence. I want to see all these signs, wonders, and miracles once again like I used to. And once you've been in the presence of God like that and live there, and then you have to live, it's been 20 years now, 19 years now, I've lived without that, that'll take a toll on you. Because you're living in the dark with the darkness, and when you know there's so much light out there that God wants to shine upon you. So how much light do you want tonight? Do you want all the light of God? You know, when I sit down and say, God, what is you going to tell the people? And then finally he gives me one word and then he starts prophesying the sermons I've been giving. It's because that's where you're at. And he needs you out of there. He's informing you of what needs to be done in your life. He's not wasting his breath and my time. Amen. He wants you to receive what he's given you, and he wants you to receive all the anointing that goes with it so he can send you out there. See, you're really not ready to go out there in the highways and the byways yet. You're really not. If you were, you wouldn't be so oppressed. You wouldn't be upset all the time. Are you listening? You know, so many people are complaining about finances, and I'm trying to run a home in my home. I'm the only one that brings in an income. And there's 1, 2, 3 families besides me that live in my home. I keep a roof over their head. I pay all the bills. And I don't know how I'm doing it. God is making sure all their bills are being met. I'm trying to run a church. And the only people that bring money into the church are the few in here that tithe. Usually people come in late after we do offering. And then they never have to give an offering. So what comes into the church is, God, I'll say, God, here's the bills for this month. Or this one has a need and I don't have any money to help them. He always makes a way. So don't come to me and tell me God won't financially bless you. And I don't go begging. Somebody said, why didn't she teach about giving? If I have to teach you to give, then you don't need to give. There's enough about giving every place you go. But I'm just trying to let you see that if you're faithful to God, he's faithful to you. If you get up underneath the oppressor, then God will start blessing you. But as long as you still live there with the oppressor, he's not going to bless you. It's just that simple. And I don't know how to get that across to you any other way than tell you that. Some say, well, God will take care of me. Well, you know what? If I give you something, it's not because God said give it to you. Maybe every now and then, but that's just the kind of person. I'm a giver. I've always been a giver all my life. And I have a lot of compassion for people. And even sometimes I take my own to give to others because God blesses me so abundantly. Do I have an overflow? Absolutely not. Overflow of empty checks that I can't write. You know what I'm saying? But as I give, God gives back. Are you understanding what I'm saying here tonight? You go and serve your devil if you want, but you're never going to have anything. You're only going to have peace of mind. But if you would turn around and let go of your devils, your idols, whatever they are, and start serving God 100%, you watch how God will turn the tide in your life. The altar is open tonight to get that anointing, to be free from the oppressor, to receive all that God has for you. And we always do the altar call first, and then we do the ministering with the prophetic. And I can guarantee you that anybody who prophesies over you here prophesies from the third heaven. They do not do it from the second. I don't allow that in here. These are souls that we're dealing with in here. And I hope that you understand that you're dealing with souls. You're dealing with souls. You know, and there, somebody in here, God told me when I was coming to church tonight that because you didn't step out and do what God told you to do when he told you to do it, some of your people have missed God totally and completely, and they aren't going to make heaven their home. But it's because you did not step out when God told you to step out. I don't know what you was waiting on, but he told you there was a way and to go, and you didn't do it. I want you to think about this tonight. Mom, there's anointing here in the altar, and you'll get whatever you want from God. If you want 100%, he's going to give you 100%, but you have to give him 100% back. I wouldn't hold on to anything if I was you tonight. I don't know what tomorrow holds for you.